Of course, thank you for having me.
This is all concerning for, well, it's all to promote your show coming up at Thursday, June 6th at the Levitt Pavilion.
I'm super excited to be a part of that event and that concert series. It's really wonderful to play in LA. It's now my hometown, so I'm very excited to be a part of it.
Oh, that's awesome. How long have you called it your home so far?
For 3 years, I moved here from New York City, and I feel at home. I felt at home right away, which some say is unusual, but it reminds me a lot of how we live in Dominican Republic.
Right.
So I felt very much at home.
Oh, that's so cool that it kind of reminds you of this. So it's the Dominican Republic
Yeah.
from where you're from, was it like
I
this
am.
big bus hustling and bustling type of city?
Well, it is, but at the same time, people live in houses and have backyards and hang out at each other's houses and have dinner parties and things like that. And all the trees and all the flora and the fauna here, I don't know, it just reminds me of my island. It feels homier.
That's so nice. So I know that your parents had a big influence on you, music-wise, because they themselves played a lot of music. Now, how much of that influence has shown in your music recently?
Well, it always has influence in me. My parents are my first musical teachers that I ever had. My father taught me everything I know about harmonies and stacking harmonies and harmonizing music in general, and also string arrangements, horn arrangements,
Cool.
things like that. And it always comes up in all my music, so I always think of my father when I do those kinds of things. And my mother taught me a lot about songwriting by just, being a songwriter and an artist. And she also is an ethnomusicologist and a folklore researcher. And she is also kind of at the front lines of the Taíno movement, which is the indigenous movement of the Caribbean, the first people to be in contact with Columbus when the so-called discovery happened. And so she's taught me a lot about the musical history of my island, and I would go with her on her research trips where she would record traditional Dominican music that spans from African heritage to Taíno heritage to Spanish heritage. So I got to experience that and hear all that kind of music, and all of that obviously kind of seeps into your musical subconscious mind and comes out in many ways, in rhythms and chants. Sometimes I even use certain Dominican folklore melodies or chants. So yeah, it's a constant thing that I'm influenced by them.
That's so awesome. Because, I mean, your music speaks from itself. It's just so eclectic. There's just so many sounds in there. And it's very
Thank you.
tropical.
Yeah, I'm a tropical baby after all.
And then, so you're also, just like your semi newest song is bilingual. You speak
Yeah.
two languages, or do you speak more than two languages?
I speak four languages. I speak Spanish, English, French, and Portuguese. And the reason why I speak so many languages is because of my parents being Dominican and Brazilian. I lived in both those countries, and I also lived in I lived in Montreal for about 6 years, from when I was 5 till I was 11.
Oh, wow.
My parents had a encounter with the Dominican government in the 90s. My mom and my dad sang a song against the government, and we had to leave soon after. And we were refugees in Montreal for about 6 years. So that's when I got reeducated in French. So,
Oh,
which is
wow.
why I speak so many languages. Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's easier when you're young, though, when you're under 6,
Oh,
because your
yeah.
brain's like a sponge, so you kind of absorb it all.
Yeah, actually, as an adult, I've taken two French classes, maybe like 4 years ago, and now I still know only the basics.
Ah, comment allez-vous?
Apu. That's it. And then I can say, s'il vous plaît, merci, adieu, do. See, I already forgot my numbers, but I know four is quatre, and it's very
Oh my God.
basic.
Well, living in a place helps, so. Maybe you should move to France.
And can we expect any French songs from you in the future?
Maybe not entirely in French because it's been, I mean, I'm not fluent in like the colloquial, kind of urban
Oh, yeah.
now. I speak a very proper French is what I mean. But I definitely sprinkle French in songs. Kind of like Manu Chao.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Manu Chao? Manu Chao is a great example. He's one of my musical heroes for sure because he's polylingual as well.
Yeah.
And he uses it as color, which I think is really fun to do as an artist.
Yeah, his very, it's almost similar. Yours is like a electronic female
Yeah.
version of Manu Chao.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so with all your, so you, Manu Chao is one of your influences. You got Billie Holiday under there. What are your some of your newer musical influences or something that you've heard recently and you're like, whoa, I like that and I want to kind of incorporate
Right.
that?
Well, as far as I'm really kind of proud and feel like it's a really interesting time right now for Latinx artists. And I want to shout out like Empress Of, I think is incredible. She's a friend as well. Lido Pimienta, I think is amazing. Kali Uchi. It just shows kind of a wide gamut of what a Latinx artist can be and not pigeonholed into one specific kind of thing, you know? And I really love that about those artists. They're so themselves in their own lane and have carved one for themselves, and not just been labeled a Latin act, but just a musical act, you know? And I really love that because as Latinos and Latinx people, we hear all kinds of music, not just Latin music. So to be able to develop yourself as an artist and take all the influences that you've grown up with that may or may not include Latin music, and then make something new with it using Spanish and English and whatever you feel comfortable with, I think is weirdly groundbreaking for people now. You know what I mean? Even though we've always been this way.
Because now it's like really showing just what the Latinx community musically can do. It's
Yeah.
especially because it's expanded so much.
Yeah.
I mean,
And it's
your
not,
music.
one dimensional.
Yeah, exactly.
Or of one language either. It's kind of how Spanglish works, right? Like if you and I speak to you speak Spanish, correct? Like if you and I speak English to each other and we switch from Spanish to English, our brains do it seamlessly,
Sí, se puede hacer
right?
muy fácil y como si fuera nada.
Fácilmente. And you don't even notice that we switch, right? It's like that's how our brain works. And I feel like it's the same with music. Like I think that we're gonna get to a point in the world where like being bilingual and switching from one to the other in a song is just normal.
Yeah, and especially out here in America, I mean, I know
Yeah.
some of my friends or older friends that they don't know a lick of Spanish, but because their parents told them, oh, it's gonna make you seem less American, but now it's like you're more American if you know more languages.
Yeah,
It's interesting.
exactly. It's an exciting time. I'm very thrilled. Also, Francisca Valenzuela, who's Chilean, she's also a good friend, and I really love what she's doing. There's so many people. There are so many incredible artists out there right now that are killing it. And actually, I think I'm performing with Tomasa Real too. I performed with her recently. She's like neo perreo Chilean,
Oh,
so
yeah.
it's like she's taking Puerto Rican, reggaeton and making it her own. Coming from Chile, she's here now. I think she's performing as well at the Lovett Pavilion. I mean, it's endless. It's so freaking cool, and it's also a lot of women too, which I find to be also extra cool.
Oh, yeah. I know. They said 2018 was the year of the woman, but I think it's just going to keep continuing and snowballing from there.
I agree.
And now, is there any music you currently have on repeat?
I'm going to self. I'm going to plug myself in this particular case. I'm coming up with an EP
Oh,
in the
that's
next,
awesome.
very soon, and I have a song coming out from this EP called "Identity Crisis," and it's electronic. It's produced by Nick Sylvester, And we wrote this song last year, or maybe a little longer than that. It's been in the works for a while, and I really love it. And it's about colorism. So it's about the discrimination, the racial discrimination based on shades of color, which happens a lot in communities that have been colonized, or brown communities where people who are darker are deemed lesser than, and a lot of times perpetuated by even people of color. So it happens a lot in my island, and so it's a subject that's very important for me to speak out on because I experienced it living in Dominican Republic, coming from Montreal, moving back to DR, and me being a light-skinned Latina, my skin tone was favored, and I found that to be extremely shocking. And so it never got away from me, that whole kind of caste system of color from my island. And to have these conversations, I think it's really, really important. So the song is electronic. It's kind of fast-paced and hard-hitting, but at the same time, it has a really important message. And that's kind of how I like to operate with music. I want it to be something that is danceable or enjoyable sonically, but has something to say.
Yeah, I mean it. I was just thinking about it. It's like you can be on the dance floor, but and also having very intellectual thoughts.
Exactly.
That's fun.
So yeah, that's coming out soon, and be on the lookout.
Let's talk about your next song. We're gonna have a song here on Bilingual. It's your semi-recent release. Where did that come about?
That came about a breakup that I had some time ago, and in the song I am narrating, kind of talking to myself as if I were my own friend, and telling myself to get off the kitchen floor and wipe your tears and get out there because there are plenty of fish to be had. So go on there because you're bilingual and newly single. Truly, I'm not bilingual. I'm more than bilingual. I'm polylingual, but it doesn't have such a good catch kind of sound to it, so I kept it bilingual.
Yeah, it'd be a little difficult to say piling or. Yeah.
Polylingual. Yeah, it's a mouthful.
All right, let's hear it.
Ay, he's so rico. I just wanna.
What you doing crying on the kitchen floor? You know.
Right
there. You need to get up, 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 get up. If you wanna get off, 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 get off. You need to get up, 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 get up. If you wanna get off, 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 get off.
Bilingual, newly single.
Mira, 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 wow.
Bilingual, newly single. Bilingual.
Video for that is very funny, and I always look forward to your music videos because they're just so creative and they're just so much fun to look at. And
thank
most
you.
Of the time you forget there's a song behind it, but you're just like looking at all the visuals.
I have a hard time keeping things simple for sure.
Yeah, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And now, how much control do you have over your own music videos?
I mean, most of the time I, you know, either write the treatment with the director or write it myself. Mm-hmm. But in this case, the directors kind of took over. They presented, because the song is so, it was so personal to me because I was going through this breakup. So all I could think about in my head as a story was the story of what was going on to me, very literal. And I wanted it to go out of that context of my kind of like literal, like, breakup pain. Mm-hmm. So these directors came up to me and they kind of are very much outside of the box thinkers, which is what I was looking for in a director. And they proposed this insane idea of this kind of like group of misfits in the desert having to do this kind of test of strength to jump, kind of metaphorically jump back into the dating life. And the metaphor is a pole vault into a giant butt.
Yeah.
Meaning to represent getting back into the dating scene. And it's a really funny video, and it was absurd, and it's just ridiculous, and I love it. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, it looks like so much fun.
It was. It was actually the hottest day of that summer. It was in August. It was really horribly like hot to do that video in the desert, but it was totally worth it.
Whoa, how did you guys keep from like not showing how sweaty you were?
I don't know, man. Umbrellas and lots of dabbing with paper towels in our faces.
And then keeping your makeup on point.
Yeah, that was tough. It was tough.
That's funny. And now for your other videos like Tigre or even the bilingual lyric video. How do you come up with the concepts like that? Where do you draw your influences?
Well, I mean, for the bilingual video, I did that with a friend of mine. Her name is Alina Flores. She's a great graphic designer and creative director. And the lyrics of a song are like, look at all the fishies, look at that one right there. So I made the theme of the rollout goldfish. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, all the fish in the sea, like, that whole thing. So it was really easy thematically to kind of go with that, and it kind of caught on, and people would tag fish in their video, in their like stories, and I don't know, it's always a little gimmick that kind of people kind of roll with. I feel like that's something that people like to grab onto. And for the Tigre video, I work with a really amazing photographer and creative director named Elise Besner. She goes by Lello Pepper, and she does most of all of my photography for all of my singles.
Oh, okay.
And she really works a lot. Oh, thank you. She works a lot with fruits, and it's very kind of off-putting sometimes and odd and like sexualized fruit, and she has such a beautiful eye. I've been a fan of hers for years and years and years. We're friends on Instagram for years, and we both moved to LA at the same time, so when we met, it was like a match made in heaven. So she helped creative direct that video along with Doreen Electra, who is an amazing queer artist who just moved here from Texas. They are an incredible force of visual and musical like nature. They are really incredible. And I was lucky enough to have them direct this video when they were still living in Texas. And they came here with their partner, who was also a director, Weston Allen, and shot it in my house, in my living room.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You didn't have to suffer any heat.
Well, a different kind of heat. Yeah. More like all the windows closed and plastic all over the windows, so the light wouldn't come in. Kind of heat.
Oh. And yeah, and you have like a very extreme cool getup of all the fruit on your head. Was that real?
Yeah.
Or was it like imposed?
Yeah, it
on
was
there?
Real. It was really heavy. Elise made that with some friends, and we had it hanging from above because it was so heavy that I couldn't hold it up with my head.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And now, out of all your videos, what would you say was your favorite in making?
I would say the STFU video mm-hmm. that I put out with Matt Decent. This one was made with Maddie Deutsch, who's a really good friend of mine. I went to college. And, you know, we sat down one day. We were, like, hanging out and talking, just spitballing ideas. And I had it in my head that I wanted everything to be lavender. And we kind of spoke about making a lavender pond where I would baptize people. And the song is about, like, kind of standing up for yourself and, like, saying I don't give a crap about it, whatever anybody thinks. So I wanted to baptize people in this lavender pond. And actually, we made it happen. And we kind of plugged up this drain on the side of this hill in the property that we were filming at. Mm-hmm. And flooded it and dyed it with purple, like, coloring. And lo and behold, we had a lavender baptismal pond.
Wow, that is cool.
Really freaking cool.
Yeah, it's worth it.
I loved it. Yeah, it was amazing. I really loved preparing that video because I also like painted a lot of things. My boyfriend at the time helped me build a lot of things. So it was a labor of love of all my friends coming together.
Mm. And now, what would you say is your least one, or like at least the harder videos that you had to do?
They're all my babies. I love them all. I don't think I have a least favorite one. I mean, there's some videos I never saw the light of day, and that was years ago in New York. But, you know, all the times that those things happen, it's always like a learning curve. Like, every time a video didn't come out the way I wanted to and I shelved it myself most of the time, it was because something didn't feel right or didn't look right, and I learned, and which allowed me from then on to really know what I wanted and be very clear with my vision. And I just shot another video for Identity Crisis with two very talented directors, Mirna Perez and Veronica León, and they are amazing. And I'm really proud of that one too, and it's also really bright and colorful and poignant, and the symbology behind it is really great, so I can't wait to show that video.
Something we would expect from you. That's great.
Yeah.
Now, are we going to see a music video for this next song that we're going to play, the Catch Me?
No. So Catch Me was kind of a weird accident. It was, I wrote this song. I write a lot of songs for movies and series for television.
You have a pretty extensive career on that.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing that's happened, and I'm really grateful for it, and I feel very lucky. But I recently just did 4 songs on the star show Vida, written by Tania Saracho, and I'm in a couple of episodes of the last season, which is amazing, too. I've never been in a TV show before.
Yeah, it's a good one,
but
too.
But anyway, it's really, really good. I highly recommend it. But Catch Me, I had written for Fast and the Furious. Yeah, I know. It's funny. So I a lot of times you're asked, like, hey, can you write a song for this? And then you send it over, and then the directors and producers are like, we love it, or no, we don't, they pass. Mm-hmm. So in this case, that song was passed, and it was pitched to another project, which is this company called Rakuten, which is it's an app. Mm-hmm. And they premiered it, their commercial, at the Super Bowl. And people saw it and freaked out, and it racked up 14 million views on YouTube.
Yeah, it went viral.
So, yeah, it did. And it was such a weird, unexpected thing. The song that, first of all, it's about driving. And this is a little secret that is no longer going to be a secret because I'm telling it on the radio. But I don't know how to drive. I'm a New Yorker. And I never learned how to drive. So I'm going to learn how to drive soon. So this whole song is about driving, which is hilarious because I don't know how to drive. Yeah. And So yeah, this song that was never meant to see the light of day all of a sudden had a life of its own on the internet, and people kept writing to me in DMs and Twitter and everywhere, just comments. The comment section was like, "Who is this girl? What song is this?" And then finally, someone figured out it was me, and then I was basically like asked to release it by many, many people on the internet, and I was like, "I hear you loud and clear, and here it is for you."
And now let's take a listen.
I ain't taking the subway, about to burn up these streets. Glad the smoke it be rising. Roll it up, hold it in. Run my mind, you can't catch me. Buckle your seat. This machine I be riding, it's that pony that wins. Ami, ami, yeah, cash money. Ami, ami, yeah, cash money. Ami, ami, yeah, cash money. Ami, ami, yeah, cash money.
I want to talk more a little bit about your TV life, because you've been on, now you have 4 songs on Vita and then your debut on Broad City, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so funny. The sound supervisor, Matt FX, reached out to me on Facebook Messenger years ago, when people still use Facebook, I guess. And he's like, "Hey, I heard your song through a friend of mine." I think he had heard a demo of a song through a friend who had shown it to him. I lived in New York at the time as well, so he does as well. And he's like, can I pitch this to the show that I'm sound supervising for?" I'm like, "Yeah, please. It's a show called Broad City." I'm like, "Great, let's do it." And then it became Broad City, and my scene has Vanessa Williams in it. Like, well, my songs are in it throughout most of the seasons.
Yeah.
I think almost all of them. But the one that's like the most memorable is Tigre. And it's when Vanessa Williams walks in this office that Alana Glazer is working at, and she does this like slow motion entrance, and my song plays, and I died when I saw it.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I love that episode.
It's so good. She's wearing a little dog halter top.
Yeah.
And she like pencils in her stomach. It's hilarious.
Yeah, the whole series is amazing. Yeah. I'm surprised that you weren't in one of the episodes.
I know. I think it was mostly filmed in New York. By the time thing came around, I was already here. But I got to redeem myself in shows that I've written for music, and I'm now in Starred, the Vita show, so I feel good about that.
Yeah, now what are you able to tell us what episode you're going to be on?
Yeah, I'm on the last 2.
Cool.
Episode 9 and 10. You can watch all of it now. You can binge watch it
Amazon. Stars. Oh, on Amazon?
Yeah, okay. On Amazon Stars. Yeah, on Stars.
Perfect. And how many people have told you that they heard you or discovered you through Broad City or Vita?
I mean, I can't tell you how many. It's interesting. It's like not just that, but also commercials too, because a lot of my songs are using commercials, like being in an Amex ad and Catch Me the Rakuten. And there's other songs that are in other movies, like this one song called Para Navegar, who also kind of had a life of his own and was never meant to come out, and just came out because people asked me a lot. And people dance a lot to my songs, too. There's always online videos of people all over the world doing choreography, like in Korea and Japan and Ukraine.
Oh, wow. I have not seen those. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, if you Google my name or if you YouTube my name, you'll see just hordes of dance videos of people doing choreography of my music. I'm very grateful that we live in the internet era for artists like me who are independent and rely a lot of things coming out there in alternative ways.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this is really, it's a blessing.
That's awesome. All right, so here's Tigre, and let's go into it. Just has so much energy. How did that song come about when you first wrote it?
Well, I am a fan of Lola Flores, who is a flamenco artist, and she's in a movie where she performs the song Que te coma el tigre, mm-hmm. and it sounds really different than what I did. And it goes like, Tú lo que quieres que te coma el tigre, tu sangre es morena. And I remember as a kid listening to that, and I love her because she's such a character. She's so fierce and like, I don't know, she's incredible. Like, flamenco women are just, you know, they have this force about them that I so admire. And I was in the studio, and this producer I was working with, Josh Grant, started making this really repetitious beat that was so amazing. And I started singing, Tú lo quieres te comas tigre, que te comas tigre, que te comas tigre, like, to it. And he's like, what is that? And I'm like, oh my God, it's a song from like the 60s that I love. And he's like, put it on the mic. And it was like a 30-second thing. Like, the song, we did it in like maybe an hour.
Oh, wow.
it was one of those like weird non-songs because there's no, you know, it's just me saying things over and over again and harmonizing it. So it's an interpretation, interpolation, if you will, of Lola Flores' Que Te Como El Tigre. And it's infectious. It's sometimes annoying, I think. but, you know, it's kind of all those things. And I really love the harmony stacks in it as well, which is kind of reminiscent of my father, his harmonies. And so it has all the things that I like. It has rhythm, it has harmony, and it has an earworm that you can't stop singing.
Yeah, seriously, sometimes I'm just, like, singing it in my car.
Amazing.
That's great. And so now about your performance at the Levitt Pavilion, and you're headlining this awesome, like, mini festival that they're having, Orgullo en el Parque. And what do you hope people will get out of your event there that Thursday?
Well, I have some new songs that I'm adding to my set, and we're revamping a lot of the things. Have you ever seen me perform by any chance?
Yeah, actually, one time over at, I think it was in Little Tokyo, at that next to Mocha.
Oh.
It was a while
ago. Was it a fake fest? I'm not sure, actually, where that was. But anyways, my show is very theatrical.
Yeah,
and, like,
that's what I loved about it. You had, like, these dancers, and I was like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, we kind of want the show, I wanted the show and my choreographer to be an unfolding kind of like always on the edge of your seat entertainment. But it's everything has significance. Like the intro is usually the song that I really love that I did with GTA called True Romance. Mm-hmm. And I started with, like, a ceremony that's reminiscent of Santeria, which is something that I grew up watching and seeing with my mother when we go on those musical excursions. So, you know, that deeply influenced me. So I start every concert with a ceremony that's kind of blessing the stage and blessing everyone in the audience. And it's kind of very kind of magical and solemn at the same time and very serious. And but then it just kind of becomes this magical thing that I'm not going to say what happens, but it's really fun.
Yeah, don't spoil it yet. Don't spoil
it. I won't. And then, you know, we use a lot of props and things. And for Identity Crisis, we talked about colorism. We do a choreography with mirror, with hand mirrors, kind of signaling to how we see ourselves in the world. So, you know, my whole show is very interactive, and it's very visually stimulating, and, you know, it's about having fun, but it's also about kind of speaking on things that are important. So I want that to be the thing that people take home with them, is that they had fun, they were entertained, they smiled, they heard some truths that had to be told about the world we live in, and hopefully they want to do it again and hear it again and look at me online and keep supporting me.
Yeah, and you're going to be performing with someone great, too, Sister Montos. They put on quite
a
show as well.
Yeah, they're amazing. I perform with them at Mocha. Yeah, that's the one that you went to. Mm-hmm, that's right. They're great. I love them. Sometimes Sancha performs with them, too, which I love.
Oh, Sancha's amazing on her own as well.
I know. I love her.
Yeah, all three of you should do, like, a big show one day.
Yes, that would be incredible.
It'd be just... You would have to sit down, really, to enjoy the whole show. It's like a whole performance.
Oh, my God, totally.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I hope everyone who's listening is also looking forward to that show. And I want to thank you sincerely for taking the time and talking to me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to have been here.
I think, yeah, it's been great. I've been a big fan of yours since, honestly, since Broad City, just because I love that show so much. And anybody who is on that show just gets elevated in my book times 100.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I can't wait for you to hear the rest that's coming up.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing all the little upcoming stuff that's coming from you.
Thank you again.
All right. Well, enjoy your weekend and have a great day today.
Thank you.
See ya.